This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Joining us now on the line here at Gillette Stadium, Patriots Monday, is Drake May. Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with five New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. And by Cardi's Furniture and Mattress, get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake May, how are we feeling on this Patriots Monday after what you called was a heartbreaking loss yesterday?
Yeah, it was a tough one for sure. So, hey, we still got some football left to play the rest of the season, and I got a chance to reset in the bye week.
You've mentioned the need for a win quite a bit, even before you took over as the starting quarterback, and they've been tough to come by. And I'm gonna assume this is the most you've ever really lost in your athletic career. So, how are you dealing with losing? Is it wearing on you, or how exactly is that playing out in these recent weeks?
It's frustrating. I think the biggest thing is just motivational. I think it's motivational to come back and study hard or kind of get something in small group meetings, or hey, meet with receivers more, meet with the O-line more, talk through more looks, little things like that, because we're just a few plays away from being on the right side of things. And I think those guys see that and they're not losing sight of that.
So obviously it wasn't Buffalo level cold yesterday out here, Drake, with feet of snow in the stadium and fans having to shovel out their own seats, but it was pretty chilly yesterday. I'm curious as you continue to acclimate to New England and us New England people and the environment out here. Well, I saw you out there without an undershirt yesterday, kind of went with the sun's out, guns out. How'd you feel about the cold weather, and what do you think about playing in those conditions?
Yeah, I don't think it's really that big a deal. I think it could be an advantage for us, down the road, but, yeah, I think it's New England. It's part of New England football. It's part of New England history. All those games they won in the cold weather. So felt good in the first half. Got a little chilly in the second half, but it really didn't affect me that much. So I felt like I was throwing the football well. So the biggest thing is probably the hits hurt a little more. That's probably about it.
Yeah, Tom Brady was famous. He used to wear like this neoprene scuba suit whenever it would get to be like 25 degrees and colder. So you were out there, no extra layers.
He's tougher than Tom Brady.
That's right. That's what we're giving you, your props, Drake. You're at tougher than Brady out there.
No, I don't know about that. I probably need a scuba suit on. If Tom did that, so.
I know it probably doesn't make you feel better because you did lose in the end, but it seemed like a pretty efficient day for both you and the overall offense. Did you feel like, for you in particular, that was maybe your cleanest game that you have played?
I think, you know, there's been multiple times this year I thought we've been moving the ball well. I think the Rams were moving the ball well. Well, we have one punt yesterday, but down in the red zone, I think it's just it's tough to go out like that. You can't win games. You know, like I said, my press conference, you know, going four drives in the red zone and then field goals. So we got to focus in on that. I think that's been an emphasis of an area improvement for us in this offense, and we know that you guys score touchdowns to win in this league. So I feel like clean day overall. I think the interception was unfortunate. Got to probably put it on the better side of Hunter, and, you know, he may end up, you know, falling in. So other than that, I think, you know, proud of the guys for how they fought, and thought we moved the ball well.
Drake, the bye week can be a great time for, in addition to resting up and healing up, reflection. So you get a chance to turn around and look at your eight starts and how the team has done through 13 games overall. You got four left to complete your first season in the NFL. Do you feel like you are where you should be, or do you feel like you have progressed to a point where you're actually further along than you thought you would be eight games into your rookie season? You feel like you still have a lot more work to do. How do you feel about the progress you've made thus far in your rookie campaign?
Yeah, I think it's tough to, you know, answer that from, you know, talking about myself from myself point of view. I'm just trying to take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and I'm trying to learn from experiences or negative plays, and, you know, learn from turnovers, learn from sacks that I take, and see if I can get the ball out or do something better. So that's probably the biggest thing. I think, but, you know, hopefully, you know, kind of the work we're putting in and what we're putting out on the field, the product we're putting out, can, you know, lead to some positive plays and positive wins down the road. But I think we got something to, you know, play for in these last four games. You know, I think, you know, playing for the New England Patriots, the starting quarterback, is always an awesome opportunity. So hopefully, if not, maybe knock off, you know, some teams and maybe hurt their chances of making the playoffs. That's about, you know, what our chances are right now, and you know, take advantage of that and take that as a challenge.
We've obviously talked about your running ability throughout the weeks that you've been playing and starting, and you've talked about picking your spots and staying healthy and things of that nature. You had that big run early yesterday where looked like you got them in man coverage and you were kind of well downfield before half the defensive backs knew even what was going on. Does that play into your decisions on when you run and how aggressively you run if they're in man and you see that opportunity where maybe they're kind of run off there?
For sure. Anytime you got, you know, man coverage and, you know, they don't account for the quarterback running the football, you can hurt them. And I think that was a good, you know, example from Sunday. And, you know, the other times, you know, scrambles is trying to, you know, do what I can and get down. I think trying to be efficient with my running is probably the, you know, my biggest kind of goal, and not run too much. But when I do run, kind of make it count.
We're talking to Patriots quarterback Drake May here with Fitzy and Hart on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, so I read a stat that was kind of an eye-opener on the subject of your running, that you have the best yards per carry by any running quarterback since the year 2000, and there have been some pretty good running quarterbacks in the NFL since 2000 to now. If you're getting ready for a game, kind of like the way Marcus Jones texted Alex Van Pelt a while ago to see if he could get a play from moving over from defense to offense, if you're feeling it and you think you may have it coming up on a Sunday, would you feel comfortable sending him a text or suggesting, hey, maybe, you know, I feel like toting the rock a little more this Sunday?
I think it's different with Marcus. Kind of, you kind of, a package for him is different. Kind of telling him the day before to, you know, kind of let me tote the rock, just kind of set plays up throughout the week. So I think, you know, Coach Van Pelt does a nice job of kind of letting those plays happen for me when they do, and I think that can kind of almost make it kind of more advantageous, you know, for the defense of not knowing when to expect it, or hey, you know, they're not a QB run team, but you got to be ready for it.
In terms of the way the game ended yesterday, you guys execute an interesting sort of situation there to at least get the opportunity for either a Hail Mary or what would have been a record-setting field goal. I'm assuming you would have felt comfortable throwing the ball, whatever it would have had to have been, 58, 60 yards into the end zone. Is that a club you have in your bag, and would you have been excited to get that opportunity?
Yeah, I think anytime you're on the 50, you know, midfield, yeah, man, that's a if you can't make that throw in the NFL, I'm not sure you should be in the NFL. So, we had a chance to Hail Mary, but like I said, Joey felt like, and the special teams coordinator and Coach Mayo, was ready for whatever the team decided. But, yeah, if you can't probably make a Hail Mary for 50 yards, that you may be playing the wrong sport.
And what was your vantage point of the kick? Because from where I was watching, when Joey struck that, I thought I was seeing history. I thought I was going to see a crazy ending and a victory for you guys. When he hit it, did you think there was a shot you were going home victorious?
Yeah, it looked like I had a chance. And I think, it's always tough, watching a game-winning field goal or, a game-losing field goal on either side of it. So thought I had a chance and, ended up coming just short. But I think it was pretty impressive in that, cold weather probably affected a little bit. I'm not sure what the wind was. It was pretty windy at times. But, I think, it was thinking it up. Kind of helping the point of at least making it close and not being 10 yards short. That would have been more of a bad look.
Drake, on the subject of arm strength, Hail Marys, etc., I want to ask this one for the fans. There was a video that had gone viral during your time at UNC that a lot of Patriots fans immediately shared after you were taken third overall last April. I think you did it in last year at UNC, where you're hanging around with a buddy, it's very sunny outside, and you chuck the ball 80 yards and it hit the goalpost. Was that real, or were there some special effects involved in that?
I don't know if I remember that. What was the video of?
There's an Instagram video of you and one other dude on a field, and you stand around the 20-yard line or 25-yard line, and you absolutely haul one off. And I think the ball travels approximately 80 yards or so, and then it hits, like, you guys were targeting the goalpost, like the bottom of the goalpost. Do you remember that one?
Where was I at?
Outdoors.
Outdoors? Outdoors. Nah. Yeah. Maybe if I saw it, but 80 yards is... it's a stretch, but depends on how I'm feeling that day. I think with some adrenaline flowing, but I can definitely feel like I can throw pretty good. So,
getting back to some of the situational stuff, as you guys continue to evolve as an offense, where do you think you are in terms of like spacing and consistency and route running and things of that nature? Because I know a lot of people talked about your touchdown throw to Hooper, where Jalen Polk was kind of right behind Hooper at the goal line there, and there was some question as to who you were even throwing to. Take us through that play. I'm assuming you were throwing to Hooper, your tight end, for the touchdown. And B, how is that going in terms of the spacing throughout play to play, rep to rep?
I think any offense, I think there's times and play calls where they probably want to wish they had spacing better or kind of be in the right spot. In a better spot for the football. But, that played up the hoop. I think it was a pretty simple who I was throwing it to. I think I haven't seen what Polk did yet. I may have fell off it trying to think it was a little underthrown, but now Hoop made a nice grab, and that was the intent.
Yep. You threw an 83-yarder in the home stadium, by the way. I looked it up while Andy asked you a question. You hit the crossbar. 83 yards. Geez. Man, how about that? Drake, yesterday also was kind of special, talking about the initiative undertaken NFL-wide in weeks 13 and 14 as well, the My Cleats, My Cause effort. You had some pretty special cleats. I watched a very emotional video last week on YouTube that the Patriots put together about your work with the Massachusetts Special Olympics and the Special Olympics Games. Could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved there?
Yeah, I think it was awesome. I think the Pats came to me and with Special Olympics and United Healthcare, and I think it was an awesome opportunity to shine a light on their team, and especially two specific athletes, Nick and Brett. I did a practice with them out on the field, actually our practice field, earlier before the season, and it was just awesome to kind of see the smile that I put on their face and that they put on mine. So just a great cause, and it was an awesome chance for me to wear the cleats that they designed and wrote their signatures on it. So it was a pretty sweet deal, and glad for Special Olympics and kind of shine the light towards athletes that may not get it and that deserve it.
How much do you embrace those opportunities? Because obviously being a franchise quarterback is a tough job. You get a lot of criticisms, wins, losses, that whole thing. But, it gives you a platform. It gives you opportunities to do these kinds of things off the field. And how much do you embrace that and appreciate that?
No, I think that's you know, one of the best things and one of the coolest things. You know, we're talking about that in chapel, actually. We saw Captain Jewel earlier this week on Friday about our platform and spreading faith and, you know, what awesome opportunity we have as Christians and, you know, myself to spread faith. And I think it's just, you know, different ways, you know, through the community of spreading different things. And, you know, just something like that can go a long way for somebody in their life, or you never know what, you know, who may see it and impact them.
Any great plans you got for the bye week? Obviously a couple of well-deserved and earned days off. Special restaurant you're going to eat at, a little travel, maybe, I don't know, go to the movies, see Gladiator 2 or Wicked?
Yeah, no, I haven't decided really yet. I think, you know, we're in the building tomorrow, so we'll get back to work on Tuesday and probably get back to check out Arizona maybe a little bit, but, you know, really reset in the bye week.
All right, that brings us to the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. It comes from Billy in Brockton, and Billy wants to know, do you have any nicknames or have you had nicknames growing up throughout your career in sports?
Yeah, kind of growing into high school. People started calling me Draco. I've been called Drizzy by a lot of people. Probably Draco or Drizzy is what probably I really get called the most in the locker room nowadays. So,
any new ones since you got here?
Whatever I prefer. Yeah, same thing. Drizzy and Draco in the locker room. Some people call me 10. Some people call me just Drake. So,
10? That's not very creative.
Draco and Drizzy.
I like that one. That's probably my favorite.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's a football guy. People call him 10. He's proud to wear number 10.
Well, that's going to do it here on a Patriots Monday with 10 coming off one of his best performances of his young rookie season. Drake May, appreciate the time, and whatever you decide to do, enjoy the bye week.
Oh, yeah, appreciate y'all. All right,
thanks, guys.
Good chatting with you, Drake.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at WEEI Afternoons, Andy Jumbo Hart here alongside Nick Fitzy Stevens. It's a 6 rings post-game show takeover of a Patriots Monday live at Gillette Stadium. We spoke with Drake May and Jonathan Jones earlier. You just heard a replay of Drake May. Mm-hmm. An interesting interview in a lot of areas. Drizzy Drake, 10, whatever you want to call him. We got into nicknames. We got into arms.
Draco. I'm still not in on Draco.
Yeah, we'll see where it evolves in the coming years as he becomes the superstar quarterback of the Patriots. But like Gerard Mayo, we love the referees here on the show. And we have waited till the final half hour to touch the third rail, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of...
Think of that scab?
A little bit. And there were some controversial hot-button topics throughout this game. Plays, referees, mm-hmm. Calls, non-calls, various things. So we had the final play of the game, which a lot of beat writers started to pull video, ironically, from the Colts social media of the touchdown.
The Colts sent it out like, look what we were able to accomplish, and look at this funny Fortnite dance. Like, yeah, you're just posting a chop block for everyone.
Chop block, holding call. Gerard Mayo said he thought it was a hold, but he doesn't want to be fined. I bet you it would be good publicity for Hellman's Mayo to pay his fines if he got fined. I don't know.
Also,
if it's legal,
he should get fined.
Why?
Why not?
Excuse me?
No, hold on. No, We're talking about Gerard Mayo this needing to be
talking.
We're talking
fill
about
fill-in host.
I am talking. Okay, this is me. Hi, yes, Nick Fitzy Stevens. I'm looking directly at the camera. Twitch.tv/BostonWEI.
Not actually.
Gerard,
it's over there.
All right, I'm looking at this camera too.
First time on TV.
Okay. So more importantly, Gerard Mayo, you want to establish the culture. You want to get your players back. You want to let them know that you're willing to take one for the team. Let them know during one of those interviews that you think the officiating stinks.
This is like a Joe Mazzulla technical.
It blows. Yeah, take one for the team. Pay the $50,000 fine. That's how you build a culture. That's how you get these guys behind you. Enough of the whole like, oh, I don't want to get fined. No, you know what? Tell them that the officiating sucked on Sunday and they missed a chance to call back the two-point conversion that made a difference in the game.
So, Fitzy's right. There very well could have been a penalty called on the Colts offensive line and for Christian Barmore. Was he held? Was he chop blocked? Yeah, I wouldn't call the holding. I personally might call the chop block. I think holding happens in those short yardage goal-to-go situations.
If by short yardage goal-to-go, you mean every play in the NFL?
Yeah, kind of. But there were others. There were a lot of emotional takes on my Twitter feed calling me out. Tell me you don't know bald, hot. Because I didn't think it was a penalty on the hit on Hunter Henry. Mm-hmm. I thought he had become a runner. I actually thought the safety, I think it was, that came up kind of shied away and led with his shoulder, tried to lead with his shoulder. To me, that was the classic example of a play that is football. That's unavoidable. And if you
hard
take
to legislate
that play
in
out,
real time.
Right. If you take that out, you don't have football anymore.
Yeah.
You can't play football. And I feel bad because I do think it kind of, they called it an abdomen injury to Hunter Henry. I think he might have had his bell rung.
My abdomen's located in a different part of my body.
He's got a different abdomen. True. I got a big ass abdomen if that's your abdomen. But there were others. There was the challenge call on the catch late, which I thought was a catch personally. I thought I was with Gerard.
That was more of a catch this week than it was the week before in Miami on the Waddle catch. That was clearly a drive.
So I probably would not have challenged it. I also think the bigger takeaway is the officials stink.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman's offensive pass interference was phantom. It didn't exist. He didn't touch anybody.
Nope.
If that's offensive pass interference, the NFL 32 teams can no longer run offenses because those rub routes, those pick plays, are far more physical and contact-filled on most plays than that, and they called that as a penalty. I don't know if it was a makeup call, if the sideline bought it somehow, how that played out.
I can see that.
It's easier if you all, you people,
there we go,
do what I have done.
Okay, what is that?
And I haven't done it well because I'm still emotional at times, but whether you are 10 a.m. on a Thanksgiving morning at a high school field, Friday, 7 p.m. under the lights, Friday night lights at a high school field.
Yeah.
Saturday, 1 o'clock college game, 7 o'clock college game. Sunday, Monday, Thursday, wherever it may be, when you watch a football game.
Football.
Go in understanding that the men wearing black and white stripes stink at their job.
Yep.
They are incapable of doing their job at a high level. That includes clock operators. Mm-hmm. That includes replay officials. They all stink. They're going to screw your team, but they're also going to screw the other team. Hopefully, all you can really ask
unless
for...
Unless that team is the Chiefs.
Okay, you people, there at it again. Yep. All you can ask for is that both teams get screwed equally, close to equally, and let it balance out over the course of a game or the course of a season. And that's all I've come to accept and ask for is they stink and just try to be close to 50-50 stinkage. Right? Is that fair?
Yeah, the fact that it's unilateral, equal opportunistic stinking, I can understand hoping for that, but more often than not, it seems just the way it plays out. Law of averages is one team gets, like, they stink more towards one team.
I don't think that's true. You know who usually complains the most?
Who's that, winners?
The teams that lose.
Mm.
No. Winners tend not to complain as much. Losers tend to complain.
Yeah, we really benefited from all those crappy calls today.
Right.
Said no winner ever.
No.
Fair enough.
Losers complain about the officials. Winners move on as winners, as they say in the business.
So what are you advocating for in the business, of course. You have to be on the inside. Sorry, guys. Andy was just doing
I haven't always been in the business, but now that I'm in the business.
Andy's just taking you guys a little inside baseball right there. Behind the green door.
It's like exactly. Two walls here.
So what are you advocating for then? More officials, robots, lasers, instant replay, AI?
Acceptance,
what?
Reservation.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's just sort
they
of like.
They stink. They're not going to get better. The cameras don't always work. The replay doesn't always work. I can't tell you, different sport, but how many times I watch an NBA game, they go to replay, and the replay tells me they effed up, and then they come to that little mic, replay clearly shows that we did not screw anything up, so it is still a common foul, and Celtics will shoot two. And I'm like,
and now I'm going to wink into the camera.
You're full of crap.
Yeah.
There's no way that's true. So I hate replay. I hate officials. I hate all of it because they never get it right. Actually, let me rephrase that.
More often
than
not.
They do get it right a bunch of times, but every crew screws up something along the way.
The worst one still to me, and this is my biggest pet peeve with it. I'm on Belichick Island with this. Everything should be reviewable or nothing is reviewable.
Yes. And so get rid of slow motion instant replay.
If you miss a face mask on Antonio Gibson where someone's hand pulls his head almost 180 degrees behind his body,
yeah,
and yet that can't be called posthumously.
Did you see the one yesterday?
A penalty is brutal.
Who was that on?
Gonzo?
No, not in the Patriots game. There was one of the worst ones I've ever seen. They almost ripped the guy's head off.
And it was missed.
Missed.
Clear as day missed.
I don't know if they said, all right, he didn't grab the helmet opening. The hell he didn't. He reached around and ripped his face off. Gonzo, I thought, got face masked on his interception.
He did.
You just need to accept you're going to have 5, 6, 7 times a game where you go, these guys stink.
And you'll
be happier.
What a bummer.
That and maple whiskey eggnog is the answer to everything in life.
Well, there you go.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. David in Florida has an idea for the Patriots and what they might do moving forward. David, what's up today?
Hey, long talk, no time. How you all been?
Phenomenal. Yourself?
I missed you guys. Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. I'm pleasure to hear your voices again, get back on the show with you. So I got two things. First, what do you think about the possibility of bringing JMD back next year? That would be Josh McDaniels. What's he doing now?
I think he's trying to probably tell his family how to handle life without him next year because he's going to be coordinating for Belichick wherever he goes.
He's collecting money from the Raiders, and he's preparing for his offensive coordinator role, maybe with Bill Belichick, maybe not. Certainly, I think in the National Football League, I'm a big fan of Josh McDaniels. Would I take him with Drake May? Absolutely, because I think anything he did with Mac Jones, he could do fivefold with Drake May, a young quarterback with a lot more ability and talent and opportunity. So you don't have to convince me, but I think a lot of people around here need to remember they used to crap all over Josh McDaniels. They really did.
Wildly underappreciated.
Yeah.
I thought he was one of the best off OCs I've seen in quite a long while. He was creative. He was inspirational. Great OC. The other thing is, coaching-wise, with Mayo, I don't think he's horrible. I just think the one thing he's not doing that just aggravates the heck out of me is that he doesn't seem to be, I mean, I could be wrong, but he doesn't seem to be addressing the penalties with the team. And there are so many, yesterday they had a touchdown that was called back because of some offensive line penalty. I don't know if it was holding or legal procedure or something.
Holding on Wanu.
That's the one thing. I mean, as we all know, good teams do not commit penalties. You have to learn how not to lose before you learn how to win, and so on and so forth. And they just these penalties have been a part of the season, a part of the team since the beginning of the season, and he's just not addressing those adequately, it just seems.
Thanks for the call, David. The penalties certainly were an issue yesterday. I thought they were a bit of an upgrade because we've gone from pre-snap penalties to post-snap penalties.
Well, at least that means they're working extra hard. They're competing during the play as opposed to making a mistake to kick it off.
The one David referenced on the Ramondre Stevenson touchdown was a Mike Onwenu. His feet weren't out far. He was too slow to make the block. Therefore, he had to reach. The guy has to try to get to the outside. There's a little stretch there. Boom. He sees your arms out. It's going to be a hold every single effing time. I don't want you people complaining to me that it was ticky-tacky. It's going to get all cold. Called in every level of football. When they see the arms way out like that, the runner's going in that direction, and the defender's trying to go in that direction, you're going to get called for holding. It's a reality of the game, whether you had a good hold of him or not. The fact that they continue, I do think, is an issue. And the fact that we've heard Alex Van Pelt tell us last week they were happening in practice leading up to the game.
That's
and that
terrible.
Transitioned to the game field. And now a week later, we're talking about more penalties.
Couldn't again, shake the habit holding. In practice.
No, I hate it. And I don't know if it boils down to talent and they're so worried about how they're not good enough. So they're trying to get a jump start on the play or whatever.
Competitive advantage.
Yes, I just hate it. And to me, that also falls not just on Jerod Mayo, not just on Alex Van Pelt, but Scott Peters, their position coach. He's the one, I think, personally, the offensive lineman for two decades here played for and in fear of Dante Scarnecchia more than they did Bill Belichick.
But we don't know. You know, it's funny. We've interviewed Jeremy Springer here on the station. Other coordinators, Covington especially, AVP have been made available. Mayo talks up a storm every Monday. Has anyone talked to Scott Peters? Do we know anything about this guy?
Generally in the once a month or twice a month when all the coordinators are available. Mm-hmm. I spoke with him a couple times in the summer.
Yeah, what have you gotten from him?
Football
guy, hard,
definitely a football
hard ass,
guy.
Yeah,
I mean, thick
yeah.
neck, thick
oh, yeah.
dude.
He looks
the
part.
Strike principle that he believes in, which no one has been able to explain to me. I thought all football players strike the guy across from them and try to beat him. And I don't even know about that. I think he could be in the crosshairs. I'm not sure he's.
Let's do a quick pecking order.
It's gotta be quick. We're coming down the home
crosshair
odds and ends.
A crosshairs pecking order, if you will. Like, who's going to be the sacrificial coach or coordinator? Peters, Covington. I think the wide receivers.
Oh, Hughes.
Coach,
I think Hugh, could be
Tyler Hughes.
I think Hughes and Peters are the most likely candidates.
Hughes and Peters.
The defensive side of the ball. I think there's going to be some angst because from fans, you people. Mm-hmm. I think the defensive side of the ball might remain relatively intact.
Return
although,
lump sum.
I did notice today when he was asked about Dante Hightower on the Greg Hill show, Gerard Mayo said, "We're not a family. I can't fire my family." And I was like, wait, why did you connect Dante Hightower with firing in your brain? Interesting synapse or whatever they call it there, connectivity there.
Mm-hmm.
And it may also be Dante Hightower could realize I don't. Maybe
hey, this is way more
this.
Work than
this
I want to put
what
in.
Not what I thought. So I'm just throwing that out there as something that struck me listening nuggets or whatever they call it on the Greg Hill Show interviews with Mayo. But I'm wondering if the defensive staff remains intact.
Probably a better chance of remaining more whole than the offense.
I think it's a lock that somebody on the offense loses their job. I don't say that with any glee or happiness.
Nope. Never want someone to lose their gig.
But I think offensively there's probably going to be some firings. Anyway, hopefully there's no firings. On this show in the next few minutes, because we've got to come back with odds and ends here on WEEI Afternoons with Nick Fitzy Stevens filling in for Christian Arcan.
Yeah, and me stepping up into host when really there's Andy here, yeah.
WEEI Afternoons live, Patriots Monday, Gillette Stadium. Fitzy and Hart, Fitzy filling in for Christian Arcan. On a Patriots Monday, we talked to Drake May, we talked to Jonathan Jones. It was a lot of fun. Now we get to odds and ends. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Fitzay, what you got for Odds and Ends?
Well, right now, I just noticed if you're watching twitch.tv/BostonWEI, I just smelled my hat, and it smells terrible. So I'm going to have to go hat-free in the parking lot on the way out to the car. No one needed to know that, but I just wanted to share a real moment with everybody. You know what you should
do? You, like your team, stinks.
You should never actually tuck your hat into your bag and not notice that it got shoved into your lunch bag. So now it smells like apples and peanut butter.
Gross.
Anyway, speaking of apples and peanut butter, Andy, one of the best shows on TV for incidental comedy, believe it or not, is Family Feud.
Okay.
Always was funny with the great Richard Dawson, less funny with in the Ray Combs era. But when Steve Harvey took it over, his ability to play to the camera and overreact when he gets outrageous answers on the show has become the stuff of internet legend. You see clips from that almost as often as you do Wheel of Fortune with people saying, you know, right in the blank and other stuff that has gone viral. There was an episode recently where, well, the first question, you know, name, you know, 100 people surveyed. And the question that followed with the answer from the wife that is absolutely spectacular. And then I want to know what your Mrs. Hart's reply would be after we play this.
Name a part of your husband that you wish wasn't so darn hairy.
His balls.
Just for the record, she didn't say butt.
No. Rhymes with calls. We had a lot of calls today.
His Dan balls.
Oh, yes, Dan balls. I don't know if we're supposed to say that, but we did, so whatever.
That's B-A-H-L for you guys out there.
Oh, there's an H in there.
Oh, there's more? There's,
yeah, didn't you hear that?
He comes from a long line. That's old man balls, boy.
So, I don't know why that bothers her so much. Isn't that a normal thing once you hit,
people
13?
Somebody might groom it. Someone might take care of it.
Well, yeah, there's a whole industry of that.
More importantly, yes, I know, the manscaping and whatnot. More importantly, the fact that she felt comfortable on national television to say that.
I'm comfortable on radio saying I don't do that. I'd be scared. I don't want things
TMI.
That are, like, cutting and stuff.
No, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Yeah.
Twitch users just got a show there, Randy.
Oh, Natara.
Yeah, they did.
Well, we did have a conversation off air earlier. If we let our junk hang out, would anybody notice if we just unzipped and
hell are you two talking about?
No, I'm not joking. Stiz, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Like two breaks ago, Andy just sort of, you know, like kind of apropos of nothing, like in Boogie Nights, like, hey, how much do you think I can bench? He just goes out of the blue, just says like, hey, you think if we did the end of the show with our junk hanging out, anyone would notice? And would we be able to finish the show?
No.
Brian was not happy. No. Brian said, I'm the guy that monitors these things. I'd be fired first. You'd all be fired. We wouldn't have a show anymore. He got very cranky for a young man.
Was that Family Feud thing better than the Wheel of Fortune mishap from a few weeks ago?
Treat yourself a round of sausage.
No. Although, I will say.
Not to a round of sausage. Treat yourself, comma, a round of sausage.
Treat yourself a round of sausage.
Is better on video because you see the guy realize, oh, I've done a terrible thing.
Halfway
like,
through,
visually.
But that's the thing. Commit to the bit.
He
treat yourself. I need to put that on a T-shirt.
He had a minor breakdown, like, mid-answer there, and that made that funnier.
There was another one when I said earlier, like, some guy tried to solve the puzzle too quickly, and it was rhymes with tut. And he goes right up the and the whole into and I think Ryan Seacrest just said flat out like no.
But I'm also dubious of these people now in this era wanting like their
are they trying to go viral
frame? Yeah, the fame. They realize if you just win and have like a normal game of Wheel of Fortune,
mm-hmm.
yeah, your friends watch, but you don't really go viral and famous.
You could walk away with 20.
I think this was one.
Okay.
So over the weekend, I got my Christmas tree. Friday.
Same. Is yours decorated yet?
It is decorated. It is fat as F, as it is supposed to be every
nice.
Year.
What'd you pay?
$150.
Wow.
I get live cut down in the field. So I knew I was in trouble when I brought it up, and the guy goes, oh, that ain't going in the baler. You know, the baler thing that puts the plastic on? He's
yep.
like, no way. I was like, yeah, whatever. I got a truck. Just throw it in the back of the truck. Throw it back in the truck. He goes, you want me to strap this down? I go, nah, it's so heavy. And my wife goes, you sure about that? And I go, no. What, do you think it's going to fly out? It's not, I mean, it's super heavy. Needless to say, less than a mile from Clark's Tree Farm.
Stop it.
I look back and the tree's bouncing around in the road behind us, 200 yards back. And I got a lot of real life and social media I told you so's from my wife.
Mm. Ah, maybe somebody should have listened to me and I told you should strap it down, the thing would fall out the back.
I'm just thankful. All I envisioned was a Mayhem commercial. My tree was Mayhem. If there had been a car behind us,
oh my,
could have killed somebody. They could have slammed off the road, hit a telephone pole, who knows. So it was all fun and games. It wouldn't be Christmas without a Hart family tree-finding adventure. And this one was, it flew out the back of the truck. But all's well that ends well. It's up in my living room. There was no major damage and no one died.
Well, man, your hairy bells really would have been clipped on that one.
How long am I going to have to listen to my wife? That's the real question. Anyway, you no
Forever.
Longer have to listen to Fitzy and Hart. We are done for the day. Up next, we have Chris Scheim doing the double dip. He was on your morning show this morning. He'll be filling in for Fitzy with Mego as they lead you up to Monday Night Football, Browns and Broncos here on the Westwood One broadcast on WEEI.